When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
Okay, so we did an Audible thing, right? And I was supposed to recommend a book. English, Jillian. I was supposed to recommend a book.
Yes.
And one of the books we recommended was a book called Lean In. And Cheryl, she was like a Fortune 500, yeah, big business lady. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to get around to it. I'd heard about it. And then one night on Twitter, I was like, oh, I can't sleep. Does anybody have a book recommendation, right? So Pink tweets me and she goes, Lean In, right? So I was like, all right, this is a sign. I got to read, you know, I got to read it. So I was like, all right. So I started reading this book and I'm not done with it, by the way. I'm only like 83 pages into it. So right now it's just a lot of kind of infuriating information that I already know, which is things like, only 15% of upper level management are female. Mm-hmm. 15. 1-5. You know, how there's always a double standard for women. How men, a woman is considered difficult, a man's considered assertive.
Right.
A woman's a bitch, a man is powerful.
Powerful. Yep.
You know, and God knows that's been the story of my life, with my career. God, not as a trainer or a nutritionist, but business, on the business side of things.
Okay.
And I thought it was so interesting. And she talks a lot about how, you know, men have mentors, and because there's so many more men to mentor, and it's kind of a theme. And a lot of my friends who are work in the entertainment industry, I do have some female friends who work in the entertainment industry. Not many, but I have a couple.
Yep.
And
there's very much a mentality in the older set, and I say older like 50s, the sort of older set of power women. They're sort of like gunslingers.
The blue hairs.
Well, it's like there's not enough room in this town for the two of us. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. I totally know.
It's like there's not enough room in this town for the two of us.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, it's like, and I have to say that very rarely have I seen a good old girl network. Never. I've never seen it. And, you know, it's interesting because I wanted to speak out about the things that happened on the show, right? And everybody was like, oh my God, they'll sue you. Oh my God, you're going up against a $100 billion corporation. You know, my agent, my lawyer, you know, they're like, they'll make it their mission to, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, I see what you're saying. And they're like, you know, it's bunk. Everybody knows it's bunk. Like, you know, you don't need to say anything. Everybody know, right? All this stuff. Okay, well, remember when Conan O'Brien and Jay Leno were saying horrible things about NBC on NBC?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No one ever said they were, you know, they're going to kill you. They're going to destroy you. You'll never work. Conan O'Brien seems quite happy at TNT right now. Chevy Chase seems perfectly happy going on with his life. Jay Leno, I mean, no one, you know, put a bullet in his head in the middle of the night when he walked to his car. Do you know what I'm saying? But, like, as a woman, it's like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. You know, they'll kill you. They'll destroy you. They'll devour you. They'll you know, all these horrible, like, sort of Machiavellian, like, you know what I mean? Like, you'll never, and this and that, and look what they did to this one, and look what they did to that one, and look what they did to this one. And they don't do it to men. I've yet to see it happen to a man. Nixon, I was talking to my shrink about this. Nixon quit, I think, right? He was being impeached and he quit. And he was paranoid and he broke the law and he had all these people followed and there was Watergate and this, that, and the other. You realize, like, he ended up the elder statesman, one of the most sort of esteemed politicians in our history.
Yeah, I don't think it hurt his speaking circuit career.
And, right. Yeah. Right. Okay. I don't get me wrong. I love President Clinton. You know, I have not, and you know, I'm a huge, I respect the Clintons more than anything, but here's a guy that, you know, they were going to impeach him for the whole Monica Lewinsky thing. And he laughed in their faces. And he is considered one of the most powerful, influential politicians of our time. Now, no woman would be able to do that. I'm sorry. No woman. And the part that I find so hard, and this is something I was kind of talking to my therapist about, is like, we don't have each other's backs. We don't. And you know, when that whole thing with the, oh my God, you know, caffeine gate went down, there wasn't one powerful woman that came out and went, that is the biggest, you know, and how dare, and blah, blah, blah. Not one. Not one. Not one. And the thing is, in the Jewish community, in the African-American community, in the Latin community, they stick together. They have each other's backs.
I know, but do we support on just because of our gender? Because
no.
This has got nothing
when
to do with what the incident.
When you see something that's sexist or wrong or unfair, I think that if we stood together and had each other's backs, we would have power. But instead, I think we look at the situation and go, well, if there's 15% of these jobs are meant for women, you know, the slots for me are less available, so there's not room in this town for the two of us. I am seeing a change, a small change, with my generation. I've seen it in the Pinks of the world. I've seen it in... Believe it or not, there is a person, you know, we had her on the show. Do you remember Maria Menounos? And mm-hmm. We promoted her movie. She did something for me once that I will always be indebted. She had my back and protected me against something that was so malicious and so evil and so vicious. And she found out about it because of what she does. And she called me and she was able to stop it. And I will never, and it, like, it could have been a story for her, right? And she called me and she's like, what is this about? And what is this? And I was like, that's completely untrue. And I, you know, I told her everything, and, but she still had to fight the good fight to kill this story. Cause you know, no one wants the truth. I got sued 4 times, all 4 lawsuits dismissed. Do you think anyone printed it? No. Caffeine supplements have been allowed on multiple previous seasons of The Biggest Loser. Did you see that in print? No. I'm a cheater. That's what you saw. Caffeine's allowed on the show, but that's what you saw. Let's see. Jillian Michaels says pregnancy ruins a body. Did I ever say that? No. Then I came out and said, I never said it ruins a body. I have endometriosis. Did you see that in print? No. Nobody will print the truth. The truth doesn't sell. No one wants the truth. They want a headline. Mm-hmm. So she went out on a limb for me. And I thought, my God, how come we don't have a network of us that do that for each other, that have each other's backs, that protect each other, that look out for one another and support each other? And, you know, even if it's, God, honestly, even if it's the other moms, right? What do? Instead of supporting each other as moms, we pick each other's parenting skills apart. You know, what do? We pick each other's bodies apart. We critique each other. We criticize each other. We judge each other. We gossip behind one another's backs. Why do we do this? And my shrink had something really interesting to say. And he believes, you know, and really open your mind here. So our dependency on mother, right? Mm-hmm. Deep, primal, from birth dependency on mother. It's like we depend on our mother for our survival, literally, survival. Right? And that dependency on the mother is a little bit different than the dependency on the father. Mm-hmm. So in our effort to become autonomous individuals, like you see teenagers go through this, right? You know, that's why they rage. They're trying to separate and become autonomous and become individual. In our effort to become autonomous, because there is so much need of the mother, we reject it. We reject it. And that's how a society becomes more patriarchal, because we reject that neediness and that vulnerability to become more autonomous. And even women do. And I wondered if it wasn't society, there's a trainer on the Australian version of Biggest Loser, right? And there was a scandal. I had met her when I did the Australian version of the show. So there was a scandal because there was another male trainer on the show, and he has a wife and 2 kids. She was married. Well, they ended up having an affair, which, you know, that happens.
2 trainers.
Mm-hmm, the guy, right.
Okay.
And I guess, I don't know. I don't know much about it. I just heard it was like a scandal because he's married and he has 2 kids and she's now a homewrecker, right? I'm not going to say, I don't have an opinion. It's not my place to create an opinion. But I think that a lot of women are threatened by other women because the biggest fear is they're going to take your man. They're going to wreck your home. And if you look at, what's kind of interesting is whether you are against homosexuality or not, who have been the most successful people in daytime? Ellen DeGeneres. Rosie O'Donnell, both gay. You know, Oprah Winfrey, there was a rumor she was gay. I don't believe that she is gay, but you don't think Oprah's coming in to wreck your home. You know what I'm saying? She's not threatening. She's not going to steal your man. And I guess what I'm saying is we've got to get to a place where we have each other's backs. We elevate one another. We lift each other up. We encourage each other. We support each other. And, I don't know how that happens, but maybe you look at yourself and you look at any competitive issues or feelings of being threatened that you might have, and you work on them and you reach out to other women. You know, we don't judge other moms for their choices. We don't judge other women for their choices, even when they go against the things that we don't necessarily believe in ourselves. I think we need to be more of like
I get it, and I won't dispute what you're saying. The only thing the only thing I will dispute though is, yeah, I don't believe we have to support a person because they are akin, they are like us.
I agree with you. Like that'd be like me voting for Sarah Palin to be president just because she's a woman.
Because she's a woman. Right.
I know. I agree with you.
You know, because I'm gay, I'm gonna every gay product, every gay vacation, I gotta do it because you know you gotta support the gay people.
No, you're totally right.
And I think for the women's issue, I think sometimes we get it's tougher because they go, well, how can you not? She's a woman. Why aren't you behind the sisterhood? And it's like, well, I might not believe what my sister is saying.
I agree with you.
So,
I do agree with you. I understand that.
However, on the other side of the token, what you're saying is, you know, don't also be afraid to speak out. If I do agree with you, then speak out and say, I do agree with you.
Don't judge each other.
Right.
Smile at somebody. Like, you know, be friendly, be outgoing, be inviting, try not to judge each other, try not to critique each other, try not to be catty with one another, try not to be threatened by one another. Like, come on, bros before hoes. Have you heard that?
No.
Yeah, it's a guy thing. It's like, we're bros before hoes. Like, we're a friendship is above, you know, any girl.
Oh, I got you.
Like, men have these sort of camaraderies.
Women have it too.
I've never seen it.
Chicks before dicks.
I've never heard of that. Stop it.
Yeah. I swear.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, but we don't stick to it.
We don't stick to it.
Really,
Autumn?
That's the point.
No. No, no. Man. No, bud. No. Mm-mm. No. And I guess I just, I don't know. We need to band together. I'm not asking you to compromise your belief system. I'm asking you to stand up for what you believe in. And if we're lucky we live in this country. Look outside of this country and see the rights that women have. And we don't do anything about it. You know, I don't know. Ladies, I'm not asking you to burn your bra. You know, I'm just asking you to support one another a little bit more. And to be less judgmental and to have each other's backs. Because guys do. They do. Look at you, Janice. You're so confused.
No, I just get really torn in this topic. This is a really it's a great topic, but I just get bent when there's an expectation to support, even though I may not think you're right or not. But you know what I mean?
No,
I'm repeating myself.
But I'm not asking you to believe in something you don't believe in. I just think women are threatened by women. And instead of being threatened, be inviting. Don't be more open. Don't be judgmental. Dude, look at the mom thing. I'm not asking you, if you're an attachment parent person and somebody else is giving their kid formula, I'm not asking you to give your kid formula. I'm just asking you not to attack her on a blog. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Okay, can I drive your car then?
What does that have to do with this?
You said that you'll support other women, and I'd like to take your car for a spin. Would you support me taking your car around the block a couple times? It's nice. Could I just take it for a little drive?
I mean, I guess. I don't think anybody would ever really believe that's your car, but okay.
Thanks for that support, sister. Oh, God, Jillian. Oh, my God, you do me in.
All right, it's not fitness, but it's diet related.
Diet will do.
You fine with that?
I'm fine.
Weight loss. Get excited.
Okay.
Maybe I oversold it. So I've always been big on probiotics.
Yes.
Right? A probiotic is the good bacteria, probiotic, that lives in your body. So, what?
An antibiotic.
Well, antibiotics kill bacteria, but we have, okay, so think of it like this.
Huh.
We have about 5,600 strains of bacteria in our body. In fact, one out of every 10 cells in our body is actually human. By the time we die, there's like practically none of our cells are even human anymore. Because we have, you know, all kinds of different bugs and creatures that live in our mites and little bacteria and what have you. And the good stuff is linked to everything from immunity to weight loss,
okay,
for that matter. So it's kind of interesting. My mom came to me and she's like, you know, honey, she's like, can you help me? She's like, I really want to clean out my system. And can you put me on this regimen? So I put her on all this stuff, like stuff that fights yeast and all these probiotics, right, and all this stuff. And she, because she was always like fighting her weight. And she's like, I've noticed, it's been several months. She's like, I've noticed a difference. Like, I can eat more and not gain weight. Do you think it's the probiotics? And I was like, they definitely do play a role. Because, in fact, they've done studies with people who are obese and people who are fit. And the people who are obese have a completely different gut flora, a completely different makeup of what kind of bacteria they have in their gut and their system than somebody who's trim and who's healthy. Now, hold on. Don't get me wrong. This doesn't mean, oh, they were born that way. You have to cultivate it.
Okay.
So
your gut flora.
Literally.
Sorry,
yeah. Your gut flora, real.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of control over that. Now, the problem is, we are prescribed too many antibiotics. We
right.
take too many antibiotics. There's antibiotics in our food. If you think about it, they give also, here's what else is interesting. Antibiotics are used as a type of growth stimulant for livestock. So not only do they give them hormones and things like that to make them fatter faster, they also give them antibiotics not just because they're kept in unsanitary conditions, but because it makes them fatter faster. So there's
the antibiotic does.
Yes, it does, for probably the exact same reasons that it makes human beings fatter faster, because it kills the good bacteria.
Yeah.
And the good bacteria essentially tell your body how to break down your food and utilize it as energy.
Yeah.
They facilitate that process. So, all right, when you're eating a lot of this meat, that cattle, for example, cow, what have you, that isn't organic, you're consuming meat that's pumped full of antibiotics. It runs off into our water supply.
Mm-hmm.
So not only does it's like what they're being fed and eating, what we're being fed, there's antibiotics in our water. I mean, we're overprescribed it. So we're getting a constant flow of antibiotics, whether we like it or understand it or we're aware of it or not. And I try to avoid them unless I am absolutely on my deathbed. I try to get through it as naturally as possible without antibiotics, because I don't want to mess up my good bacteria. Now, we can obviously, the key here is first remove antibiotics. And this means whenever possible, if you can put any organic dollars you might have, it goes towards meat and dairy. And that's the key. Meat and dairy, because obviously they have a lot of antibiotics and hormones and other harmful things. Next, try not to be overprescribed antibiotics. Don't take them at the drop of the hat. Most likely you have a virus. And before you just take antibiotics, ask for a culture, a throat culture, what have you. Make sure it's not a virus, that it is in fact a bacteria. And see if you can't fight it off by eating better and getting rest and taking Z and zinc and things like that first. Then if you're on your deathbed or it's gone to your ear or your sinuses or your lungs, obviously, yes, you probably need an antibiotic. But try to remove antibiotics wherever you can. Now, what we want to do is create an environment for healthy bacteria. Well, bacteria need something called a prebiotic. And what this is it's actually a platform for the bacteria to feed on and grow on. And a prebiotic is fiber.
I've never even heard the term prebiotic.
You haven't?
Nope. Never.
Oh. Well, now I feel like thank God we've got something new in here. Really, prebiotics promote the growth of good bacteria. That's what they do. So we want to create an environment in our gut where the bacteria can flourish.
Your gut flora.
You got it. Oh, now, and if you're trying to lose weight, what you want to do is you want to aim to get about 15 to 21 grams of fiber a day. And some, but it's called fructin. The kind of fiber that works the best is called fructin. And you'll find it in things like jicama, leeks, artichoke, asparagus, onions, watermelon, barley, banana, oats, garlic. 1 cup of sunchokes, which is like, I believe it's like a baby artichoke or something, has 15 grams. No, I'm sorry, my bad. 1 half cup. I apologize. You can roast them. Drip a little olive oil on them, roast them, side dish, 15 grams and a half a cup. That's cool, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, work on getting, obviously, the good fiber in your system. And then the next thing we want to do is we want to start adding foods that have probiotics in. And anything fermented. Now, here's what's weird, because I don't know a ton about the foods that are listed, like kimchi. What is that? Is that a Korean food?
It's fermented cabbage.
Okay.
The spicy fermented cabbage.
Is it good?
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I love it.
It's an acquired taste, for sure.
Yeah.
It's pickled cabbage. But Korean.
It's Korean. Style. Oh, well, you know that I threw up Korean barbecue once, and I've never been back. So that won't work for me. I just thought I'd share that. Well, oh, it was the worst night of my life. You know why? Because, actually, I was on a date. And
no,
it was horrible.
No.
And we got a bottle of shoju, which I thought was wine.
Oh,
no.
What is
that
stuff?
Fortified alcohol or something. It's like nasty, right?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That night was over. And like, I mean, and it was like, do you want to come up? And I was like, no, I'm going to cab it back to the house. Thanks so much. I puked all night long. I'll never forget, I woke up in the morning on the bathroom floor. Mind you, I was 27 years old. And my little chihuahua Baxter was sitting over me looking so concerned. Aww. Like, you okay? I didn't think you were going to make it. I mean, I don't remember. I blacked out after the cab dropped me off on the corner. I've never been back for Korean barbecue all night long. So, yeah, the kimchi's not going to work for me. But that could work for you. Another option could be yogurt. Obviously, organic yogurt is a good option. Another thing that I do is I take a little supplement called Bio-K. And it's like these little, they're like 50 calories. It's like this little jug of yogurt, and it's like this hardcore.
Oh, I think I've seen that.
Yeah, well, it tested like the best. You can also take supplements too. I take pills too. Like,
yeah,
Floraster, FLORASTOR is a good one too. Floraster, and I take that, and I take Bio-K. So I supplement as well. But you can get it from your food, and yeah. it's. So the whole idea here is essentially just setting yourself up for success, mm-hmm. restoring your gut flora and setting your body up to process the energy from your food in the appropriate way. Because remember, metabolism is not the way that your body burns calories. It's your biochemical makeup that's going to dictate the way that your body burns calories. The way that your body burns calories is one of the things your metabolism does, but it isn't what it is. Your biochemistry is what your metabolism is. So we're trying to set up the biochemistry of your gut in the most proactive way for fat metabolism and, of course, immunity and anti-aging.
Wow. You know what? If I ever become an actress, I'm going to my stage name is going to be Gut Flora. I love that.
Why?
I don't know why. I just, as soon as you said it, I just went, wow, I like that.
Is it your first name, Gut Flora, or is your name Gut? Would I be like, hey, Gut?
Yeah, my first name's Gut, my last name's Flora.
Why?
I don't know, I just love it. And now it's the Gut Flora Show.
Hey, Gutsky.
Yeah.
The Gutmeister.
It's the Gutmeister, it's McGut.
I don't like it.
Gut Flora.
I actually, you know, when she said gut flora, too, that word struck me as just an interesting.
It's a good, it's interesting.
Yeah.
What kind of stage performer will you be with
that
name?
Good point. Oh, I would be, it would be on stage, like not
Are you a singer? Are you a comedian? Are you doing classical theater? Shakespeare?
No, not Shakespeare.
Are you at the 4th Street Promenade?
I'd be.
Oh.
I'd be doing old British saucy comedies.
Well, that works.
Like Billy Liar, you know, like old. Saucy Brit comedies, and my name would be Gut Flora.
Okay.
You know, a saucy British, but they put in small town theater productions. You know, like if you ever came to little town. And
they do
little,
Billy Liar there?
Yeah, they do like saucy,
sure,
naughty British comedies.
I don't think they do.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been to Middle America?
Well, apparently we're going.
Yeah, and Billy Liar, is that going to be your opening show? Because that's not going to work, I don't think.
No, I couldn't do the whole entire play of Billy Liar.
How am I supposed to put that on my thing? My opening act is Gut Flora doing Billy Liar. Don't miss it. My God. Well, also a ton of merch because everybody will be out in the lobby waiting for you to be done. Just around the corner, and it's time to make those resolutions a reality. I followed my dream of becoming a personal trainer, and you can too. It all starts at the National Academy of Sports Medicine. Earn great money in a career that you love. Certified personal trainers are in high demand right now, and the National Academy of Sports Medicine will help you make your dreams come true. These guys guarantee that you'll land a job within 60 days of earning your certification, or they'll give you your money back. You can't beat that. Get started with a free 14-day sneak peek of their fast, fun, and easy online program at usatrainer.com. That's usatrainer.com. Just in case you missed it, usatrainer.com.
Okay, we're back, and Sophie from New York City wants to talk to you.
Hey, Sophie, what's going on?
Hey, Jillian, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. But what's your question?
So I have a question. So you can probably tell from my accent that I'm British, and I've recently moved to New York City, and at the moment I'm going through a bit of a struggle. I've got lots of new goals from being in the city. I'm trying to make some new friends. I'm trying to get some money behind me. And I'm also trying to work out and lose a bit of weight. And at the minute, I'm finding that all of the goals that I have are kind of conflicting with one another.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, be a little more specific about which ones are the most challenging.
The most challenging is probably, I think, the weight loss and the fitness combined with the social life.
Right. Okay. So can we put the money thing aside for now? Is that currently compatible with your other goals?
It is, yeah.
Okay. So tell me then exactly how is it that your fitness and your weight loss regimen are conflicting with your goals to socialize and make new friends?
Sure. So I guess one of the things is because I don't know that many people out here at the moment, I'm not necessarily able to plan my social life. So what will happen is I'll have a plan in my head. I'm going to go home. I'm going to cook this for dinner. I'm then going to work out. And then someone will say, oh, hey, Soph, we're going down to the bar tonight. Do you want to come with us? And I'm always saying yes.
Right.
And I'm not the type of person that can go out for one drink and then go home.
Right. I got it. Okay. So then here's my question. Can you initiate plans before they say we're going to the bar tonight and say, hey guys, I'm taking a spin class at Flywheel, come with me and then let's grab dinner. So this way you're making it a healthier social event as opposed to allowing them to dictate and we're going to the bar. And then when you are going to the bar, can you make sure to eat healthier that day and can you still squeeze in that workout? Can you say, okay, awesome, I'll be there, but can we push it back? I'm going to go for a quick run, bang out a 5K in about 35 minutes, take a shower, 40 minutes, whatever, however long it takes you, take a shower, and I'll be down there. So I'll push it back a little bit. also, you know, it doesn't always... I find this to be slightly disturbing and yet extremely effective. And that CrossFit community, they scare me. They really do. It's so cultish. I've never seen anything like it. And yet, it really works for keeping people coming back for more. I mean, like, Bob, my CrossFit family. I love my CrossFit family. I'm like, wow, that's weird. And yet, you know, and who's to knock it? It's a great support system. They're great friends. And, you know, it works for him. It's his CrossFit family. You know, there's actually nothing negative I could say about it other than the fact that it's like, although I don't understand that personally, it's really wonderful for him and he loves it. And he loves to go to the gym because it's social for him and it's fun. And I'm not saying you should go to CrossFit, but I'm saying that a lot of times there are a lot of things you can do, whether it's a class or a running group or what have you, where you're being social in a healthier environment. And when you do go to the bar, you feel pressured to drink, or you just aren't comfortable if you don't drink?
I always think of myself as like a binary drinker, so I'm either not drinking at all or I'm drinking a lot. And I suppose you're right. I get pressured into starting to drink because everyone's like, oh, go on, have a drink.
You know what? So do I. I'm not going to kid you. I mean, just last night, right, I had a dinner and I got a drinks and then a dinner. I got a sparkling water and I was like, I really don't want to drink right now, man. Like, I'm working out so hard with the ass man. Like, I don't want to drink. It puts so much weight on me. And so Heidi shows up, and of course she's not trying to lose weight, and she's like, well, you're not drinking? And I was like, so then you get a beer and you're like, all right, I'll get a beer, but I won't drink it. But then they'll feel comfortable because I'll have a beer sitting in front of them and they're going to think I'm drinking it. But then the beer's sitting in front of you, and then I start drinking it and I'm like, oh, for God's sake, Jillian, you're 39 years old and you can't just say no, you don't want a beer. Then we go to dinner and I'm like, and I always do this now. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm driving. So I end up with, you know, but you don't have that problem in New York. In LA, I'm always like, oh, God, I so wish I could. I were driving tonight, damn it, you know.
Yeah.
So I can always kind of get out of it that way. And then even if they're like, you know, oh, come on, one beer. I'm like, no, one beer and I'm drunk and it'll ruin my career. So I have the ability to kind of get out of it that way. But if you can think about clever things that will allow you where it's like, oh, God, I wish I could. I have a big early day tomorrow, or I got to go home and work after this, or something where, you know, you're like, oh my God, you guys do it. I wish I could, but I can't. Because it's fine to go socialize, but it's when you're adding in 500 calories from beer. Yeah, that's not going to work. It's not going to work. And while I hate to suggest lying, there are just times where, you know, we feel so uncomfortable, and I get it. And it's like, it's just... You know, I'll even put myself in a situation where I am driving so I can't drink. I'm like, no, we're not going to... There's a... I don't know if you have it in... You do have it in New York, a company called Uber, which is really great. You just... You push a little button on your phone and they come and pick you up in a little town car. It's awesome. And you don't ever have to drive because, you know, in LA, we don't have a ton of cabs. But I purposely will not Uber it somewhere so I cannot drink at dinner.
Okay.
So try to trick yourself into, all right, where's the most offense being done? Well, it's all the alcohol I'm drinking when I'm there. How can I manage that? How can I still fit in a workout on that day? How can I, you know, take charge of the situation and drive people into places that aren't just bars? Like, I'll go with my friends and, you know, we don't always go to bars. Like, we have a tree trimming party where we're doing White Elephant, right? And of course, it's at my house, so I've got healthier food, and we're going to play cards, and we play this game called Cards Against Humanity, which is like the adult version of Apples to Apples, but we're not at a bar. And yeah, there's alcohol there at the house, but, you know, I don't feel pressured to drink it for some reason when we're at my house. You know, it's just, go to a movie. Like, we all went to dinner, and we all went to see Bad Grandpa. Stupid, but you know, we were laughing. It was childish. It was dumb. But there's a lot of stuff you can do with your friends that it doesn't revolve around drinking. But you may have to initiate it for a while.
Yeah.
And you know, and we do all kinds of stuff now. We go bowling. We do all kinds of stuff. So you're gonna need to take the bull by the horns a little bit. And if you do need to come up with some sort of excuse for why you can't drink, whether it's an early work day or what have you, do it, and make sure that you throw in. I'll work out before you go to the bar.
Got it.
All right, but it's just a balancing act.
Yeah, the other idea that I was thinking of is kind of similar to what you're saying, is to make the social activity about the classes. But then this is probably where I'm getting in my own way a little bit, because the idea of going to a class and not knowing anyone really, really terrifies me.
Really?
Yeah, it
Why?
Does. I think it's a self-conscious thing, because I'm worried that I've got a bit of weight to lose. I would only feel comfortable about going to a class with, like, a really close friend versus showing up and trying to make friends there.
See, that's why all those, like, curves and things like that really work, because women don't feel threatened in those environments. But with that said, I need you to understand something. Nobody in the class is giving you a second thought. You know why? They're so worried about what everyone else is thinking about them. I promise you, there's not one person that's looking over going, oh, she's got some weight to lose. What's she doing here? Never. Not once. I've been to a million classes. There have been people. But you know what I will say? I will say, when I go to yoga and I get my ass kicked by a girl with 30 pounds to lose, like, that pisses me off. But I don't go, what's that bitch doing here? That never crosses my mind. And I just get irritated when they're fitter than me. I'm like, how is that possible? But I get irritated when everyone's fitter than me. That annoys the crap out of me. When they're 60 years old and they can do something better than me, I'm like, how is that possible? But it's always about me. Like, everybody's right. Thinking about them. They're in their own sort of self-conscious space. And I've always said this, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. If there's an individual at that class that's judging you, which I've never seen, but if there's an individual in that class that's judging you because you have some weight to lose, who cares?
Yeah.
Then they're an a-hole. A, they're not going to come up to you. They're not going to come up to you. They're not going to say anything to you. There's no way on any planet anybody would come up to you and go, what are you doing here? Not going to happen. Yeah. Never happened in the history of me training people in 20 years. Every time I've heard this fear, it's never happened. Nobody has ever come up and said, what do you think you're doing here? Ever. It's never happened. So if somebody is quietly judging you, A, you'll never know, and B, who cares, because they're an a-hole.
Yep.
So, honey, you've got nothing to lose. You really do. You have nothing to lose. Even if they came up to you, and your worst-case scenario was, what are you doing here? I came here to work out. Moving on.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Like, everybody else is going to think they were a jerk, and you would get your workout on. So you cannot let the opinions of other people dictate the outcome of your life, sweetie. Especially people that are not quality. It's my favorite quote, right? The people that mind don't matter, and the people that matter don't mind.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very true. I've never thought of it that way. Thank you.
Take your ass to that. And by the way, once you do it once, it's called stretching your emotional fabric. You go once and you're over it. You might have a little anxiety the next couple times, and then it just gets easier and easier from there. Once you face down that fear and it goes okay, or by the way, if it goes terrible, you've lived through it, the worst case has happened, you're like, well, I've lived through that, I can do it again. And by the way, if nothing goes wrong, you're like, oh, well, that was nothing, here I go again.
Yeah.
Just got to break that ice.
Got it. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. And just as a side note, I just want to say I've been a huge fan of yours even when I was back in across the pond.
Across the pond. Thank you, buddy. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. Where are you from, by the way, over there?
Brighton.
My grandmother was from Manchester.
Oh, cool.
And my mom spent a lot of time over there.
Nice.
Yeah, Brits. Yeah. Little common thread. Little bonding technique. How'd you like that?
Jillian and Sophie just bonded.
That's right. Cool. All right, my friend. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Sophie. We gotta go to England.
It's a small...
We gotta take the tour to England.
I don't love it.
You don't love the England?
I did not love London, no. London. I didn't love London. But no, I didn't love it. Isn't that odd? I like Sophie, don't get me wrong, and I like the Brits as people, but I did not like London, the city. It was obscenely expensive. Like, offensively so. The people are awesome. I would go for the people.
Let's go, because
I didn't love London. You'll die when you go to buy, like, a razor, and it's 20 American dollars. Your head's going to explode.
Really? I studied there.
You did?
Back in in the early 80s.
Oh, see, all right. And so a lot of people love it. My brother loves it. I think also I was in Africa for a month before I went there, and I think the culture shock just rocked my world.
Well, you were also gone for a month. You probably wanted to go home.
No, I was really excited to go to England because I hadn't been since I was a kid. And I just think I was coming from an environment where, you know, God, a family of five live on $300 a year.
Right.
And, you know, you have breakfast there and it's $150. And I was like, what the hell? I mean, it just...
Oh, I see what you're
I
saying.
I just think it just...
was too much.
Messed with my head.
Yeah.
I just... And it was just so... It was so... I don't know. It was just... I thought it was wild. I was like,
then
wait.
We both have to redeem ourselves. You have to go back there and to find the joy in London, and I have to go back there and find my underpants. So I think we both have goals.
I'm sure, pretty sure they burned those.
I don't know. They're in some
fear of plague.
They're in a flat somewhere in Bayswater. That's all I know. That's all I remember. Anyway, I think that's about the end of us for the day. It was not good.
Why did you leave your underwear, though? Why didn't you just put them back on as you exited the establishment? Did you want to leave a souvenir?
Because
something to remember you by?
All I remember is being put into a cab and being sent back to where I was staying.
Without your underwear?
Well,
couldn't you have said, you know, I need those?
I don't think I was capable of saying that. I think all I was capable of saying was... home. That was, I believe, what I said. I don't even really know.
Sounds like my night on that soju cocktail at the Korean barbecue. I hate those kind of
maybe
nights.
Your underpants are still at the Korean barbecue.
No,
maybe.
The problem with that is that the underpants never came off because I was so drunk. And, by the way, I had worked for a year to get that date and blew it.
Ooh.
Yeah,
oh.
Sloppy mess. Messarama.
I'm so sorry.
Want to come up? I was like, and I knew I was going to projectile vomit. I was waiting for this person to exit the cab to go upstairs so I could throw up out the window. Yep.
Oh, that wouldn't have.
Oh, so not hot. 27. I'll never forget. And I was like, there's this great place in Koreatown in LA called Sutbul Jeep. It's so awesome. They made like the Korean food at the table and it was just like this authentic, awesome experience. And oh my God, I've never been back.
But it was the booze that did it.
Oh, yeah, but once you puke all that stuff back up, regardless.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, it doesn't matter. You're absolutely right.
How's that? Dunzo.
Did you ever go on another date?
No, that was that.
Really?
Yeah, that was that.
Why? Why couldn't you
have said? I was a wreck. I was a mess.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It was so embarrassing.
Well, it all turned out for the best. See, you could have been...
Yeah.
Never mind. Wow. All right. Well, we've got our projects ahead of us, don't we?
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.